Buccaneers fans, victory is in the books. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, everybody's favorite guy. And I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. And all the fun presented by Bill Curry Ford. Ira, that's Tampa's first family of Ford. And that's got to mean something to people. 61 plus years, a mile north of the stadium. They stand behind their nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles. They've made it so easy to buy a vehicle for folks. I know you drive a Bill Curry Ford Escape, Ira. I'm a Bill Curry Ford customer, so is Lee. You know, what can you say about General Manager Sean Sullivan? He loves helping people.
Bringing in the Escape today with a oil change, a little maintenance, and I get to talk to Sean Sullivan. We'll talk a little fantasy football, talk a little Bucks. Sean Sullivan, he's a nitpicker when it comes to the Bucks. Nothing's ever good enough. But you know what? I think he's going to have trouble poking holes into Sunday night's win. We'll talk about it on this podcast, but that's a heck of a start by the Buccaneers.
I don't know. Sean, he's just so in love with the team, you know, just like most of our listeners. He loves Jason Light. There's a lot that he loves about the Bucs. He's not always nitpicking, but, you know, if he sees something that needs correction that's going to stand in the way of the Super Bowl, he's got to talk about it, and we always enjoy that, and that's what we do, Ira. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Right there, order a vehicle. No deposit. Sean's going to give you $500 just to do it. And they've got concierge assistance. So whatever you need to order, whatever you want to do, you'll have help. Or, of course, you can just reach out to Sean directly and demand the Ira Kaufman discount. It's so great over at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, Sunday, I'm very excited. Fans, first chance to really interact with you in a long time since last year. And that's at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Watch party. Sage will be out there about 12:15. Bucks kickoff, 1 o'clock. Beautiful outdoor, fully covered seating. Full menu. Incredible Florida's best craft beers on tap. They've got their own brand of spirits at Big Storm as well. Blood Brothers Bloody Mary mix that they own, and their Bloody Marys are top shelf. Now, it's always good to get Bucks fans out there. Great sight lines, great audio. And you can sit indoors if you want to. It's beautiful in there. So Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, Sage is back, baby.
I'm looking forward to it, Steve. I'm going to see some old friends. Always great to watch a game with Buck fans. Looking forward to meeting some new people. Steve, I want to check out the menu, see if there's any additions, any subtractions. Of course, a little Kolsch to wash it all down. Steve, great staff. Don't forget to tip your staff. Looking forward to watching a game with a bunch of friends.
Hey, Ira, if it's okay with you, if I tell you to please buy every Bucks fan there a beer before 1 o'clock, if they're there before 1 o'clock, is that okay and I'll pay you back? Does that work?
Well, I don't know if I got that kind of bread over there, Isbitz. We'll have to talk about it off air, but it's an interesting concept.
All right, well, I'll encourage folks to go up and ask Ira, hey, could you buy me a beer? Isbitz said he'd pay you back. But we could have fun with that, Ira. That might be fun. But we'll talk about it, Sage. Maybe I'll get you a gift card that you can pick up at the bar and treat some fans. Big Storm Brewery, the food, you can't miss it. BigStormBrewery.com. Check out the menu. Clearwater location, just south of Ulmerton Road. And Ira, this is just an exciting, exciting time for Bucks fans. That victory, just a mind-blowing explosion by the Bucks of defense. We're not used to seeing that in this way. Last year, we didn't get a lot of that because of all the injuries. So it's really exciting here, and I'm going to clear the floor, Ira. What did you like against Dallas? Your overall impressions, Ira? And I think there's a very important question that if you don't touch on it, I'm going to ask you right away.
Gentlemen, I get so many things wrong on the website and on this podcast that when I get one damn thing right, I got to crow about it. And it was maybe a week ago today that I decided to write a column suggesting the Buck offense was going to take a dip this season. They're not going to average 30 points. Too many changes, too many regressions at certain positions, no Gronkowski, and that the defense was going to have more responsibility and going to have to step it up. Lo and behold, Lee, and you were there to see it, to witness it, the silencing of America's team And I got to hear from you whether there was any booing or whatever, or just silence. But what a defensive effort. Brady kind of went along for the ride, Lee. And I pointed out, and I think people forget this, his two biggest completions of the day, long one to Julio Jones and the red zone target to Mike Evans, were fantastic catches. Decent throws, but fantastic catches. In that respect, it was a ho-hum game for Brady. And by his post-game demeanor, Lee, you could kind of see that. He knew he was just okay, threw a really bad pick. No excuses. That's a Kyle Trask pick waiting to happen, Lee. That can't happen for Tom Brady. The defense was sensational. And let's not forget, the Cowboys led the league in scoring last season. The only team to beat out the Bucs in that regard. Yeah, they had a new left tackle. Yeah, they lost some wide receivers. But the fact is, it's still the Cowboys. They're a good team. I don't think they're great, but they're good. And the Bucs completely shut them down. I never for a moment thought the Bucs were going to lose that game. I didn't. I picked the Bucs going in. To me, it could have been 30-3. As far as I'm concerned, with a little better offensive execution. I thought the best player on the field was Leonard Fournette. I thought he was the best player on the field, even given the drab offense, relatively speaking, of the Bucs. And I know you want to talk about Devin White and what a 2022 debut for Devin White. And I've been on his case, Lee. You know, 3.5 sacks last season. He's got 2 now. Everybody played pretty well. I mean, I thought the secondary was sensational. And Lee, I'll turn it over to you on this note. The one thing that jumped out at me more than anything else, and Lee, we talk about it all the time, the aggression in the secondary, the tight coverage. Now, granted, C.D. Lamb is the only wide receiver that the Cowboys have right now that's healthy that you worry about. I mean, nobody else. Nobody. Their tight end's pretty good, Schultz, but C.D. Lamb's the only receiver. Now, you're playing New Orleans, it's going to be a different story because Michael Thomas is back. But Lee, the secondary, every pass virtually was contested. And to me, at least for 1 week, that is the most encouraging sign I saw out of that game.
First off, you're asking about the fans. I don't know. It's a closed press box, so I really couldn't hear the fans. I was worried about that game until Evans had that touchdown, because when you're leaving points on the board, you're begging for a team to come back on you. You're begging for a team to burn you. You're begging to lose. Until Evans had that touchdown, I thought the Bucs were setting themselves up to lose. I really did. It was very frustrating to watch a team get in the red zone so often with Tom Brady, I might add. Not Mike Glennon, not Josh McCown, Tom Brady, and they couldn't get the ball in the end zone. That was a major concern for me. Defense outside the first drive, dynamite. Absolutely dynamite. Now, I thought what was interesting was I was talking to Playoff Lenny in the locker room after the game. I asked him, I said, hey, when Donovan Smith went down, this is my exact words, did you guys make a concerted effort to go ground and pound because the Micah Parsons was getting past Josh Wells so badly? He said yes. And he said one reason why they went to the ground so much is because his words, not mine, we didn't want to get someone hurt. That's how worried they were about Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. It's like, okay, we're going ground and pound. I just thought it was very interesting that Lenny told me that. Like, holy cow. And it kind of makes sense because Josh Wells is absolutely getting abused by Michael Parsons. And until Lenny himself took matters into his own hands and blasted him into the Fort Worth stockyards.
That was one violent hit. You know, Lee, another reason they stuck with the ground game, Steve, it was working. Fournette averaged 6 yards a carry. I'm sticking with that too.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things in that game. I want to defend Josh Wells a little bit. He was only beat for 1 sack, and
right.
He was beaten. They were dumb enough to leave him one-on-one with Parsons. They didn't have a tight end or a running back in there on that sack. So beyond that one play, he fared really, really well. And Josh Wells played just about 2/3 of the snap, so it wasn't like he only got a little bit in there. I was really impressed. That offensive line, Ira, you know, the game ball should have gone to Harold Goodwin. In walks Hainsey, no big deal. No big moment. In walks Gedeky, not a problem. Just fantastic stuff there. And, you know, I mean, you can't say enough about what they did. Where were these big blitzes up the middle doing anything? Brady was hit only 4 times. And yep. two of them were off the edge. every time these guys are tested, talking about Goodwin, the assistant O-line coach, co-coach with Joe Gilbert, every time their guys are tested, are they ready? They seem to be ready. And it's just quite a testament on defense. And I just want to point this out for depth purposes, because we have all seen what the Bucs' depth has looked like at cornerback the last couple of years. Consider that Richard Sherman, Pierre Desir, the bottle of cologne, it's the same guy, and Ross Cockrell. Those guys played more than 800 snaps last year, and they're all out of football. This year, in this game, Sean Murphy Bunting and Keanu Neal did not play on defense. That's the kind of depth that we have now, and this defense is just extraordinary, Ira.
Steve, I give the O-line an A. You're not wrong. And here I am talking up Leonard Fournette, and he looked very good, Lee, but let's be honest. The holes were there. Fournette got to the second level all the time, all the time. And then he ran somebody over and got another 3 yards. So that's on Fournette. The holes were outstanding. Steve's point's right. Wells only got beat once. And who did he get beat by? Arguably a strong candidate for defensive player of the year. I think he finished second last year as a rookie. I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment. Parsons is fantastic. He's fantastic. No shame in getting beat by Micah Parsons. So kudos to the offensive line. I thought Carlton Davis had a strong game, Lee. Strong game. I didn't notice CeeDee Lamb out there at all. Out at all. And by the end of the year, Lamb's going to have some numbers. He did nothing against the Bucs. Winfield is a stud. You've said it all the time on this podcast. Man, is he good. And he's ascending. He's not even reached his potential yet. They're using him in different ways. The kid is outstanding. Levante, usual stud game for him. I didn't see that much from Akeem Hicks, Lee, but his day's coming. Maybe Sunday.
Didn't he have a sack?
I don't know if he had a sack.
No, he hit Prescott early in the game. Yeah. That affected a throw.
You know, and special teams, held their own. Lee Suckup missed a field goal, makeable, but he hit four. The punter hit the scoreboard, Lee. That caused some agita. And I mentioned in my column, Lee, I don't know if you noticed it, but he's got a slow delivery, Kamara. And
yeah, I saw you wrote that, yeah.
They almost got to him a couple of times. I think Dallas noticed it maybe in the preseason film. So he's got to hurry that up a little bit. But all in all, a heck of an effort. Going on the road, Steve, winning comfortably when your offense struggles. You know, I said the Cowboys were overrated. Well, you know, that's not a 6-11 team either. So
it is now.
That's a heck of a – yeah, maybe now. Maybe now. Prescott never got in a rhythm. He never got in a rhythm, and, you know, he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in football, and they made him look rather ordinary.
Levante David, he looks like he's 5 years younger. Steve's written about this several times. Steve's absolutely right. But on Friday or Thursday of last week, there was a Mike and the Mad Dog reunion on Sirius XM.
Right.
Francesco had an hour with Russo. Russo asked him about Mike McCarthy and how he's on the hot seat. And Francesa said, he goes, I watch this guy's games, and I see things I just don't understand. And that came to mind when I saw the Cowboys through a screen pass at Levante David. And Levante David was like, what are you doing? And he batted it away. And that's the first thing I thought of was Francesa saying, I don't understand. who throws a screen pass that Levante David expects it to work?
And it was great to see, as Derek Brooks pointed out, that Levante David is 100% healthy, and it makes a big, big difference, Steve.
A huge difference. And, you know, gosh, I think from the third day of training camp, I was writing about he just looks electric out there, and it held all the way through, you know, picking off Brady multiple times in training camp. In the preseason opener, he had a big play, a sack. You know, if those two guys are healthy, it's just a tremendous defense because you've got quality in the secondary, A-list linebackers. And, you know, Shaq Barrett, I think, is my unsung hero of this game. The guy was all over the place on the pick that Winfield had of Dak Prescott. He's literally in Prescott's face, forcing that interception. Yeah. Basically broke the guy's hand, knock him out of the game. Twice Prescott followed through, and he's hitting Shaq in the helmet. It's great when great players play great games. I got to throw one negative out there, Ira. I got to throw a negative out there because it's driving me nuts. And it's partially an ode to you, Ira. I'm going to call it Charles Sims syndrome. Rashad White, we're sitting here talking about all the holes. The holes are there. Rashad White, 6 carries for 114 yards. The guy does not hit the hole hard. He did not.
Wait a minute. You said 6 carries for 114 yards.
I apologize. Yeah. 6 carries for 14 yards. The guy doesn't hit the hole hard. He was the lowest rusher in preseason when he fumbled as well. I'm not seeing it, Ira. I know a lot of people are, and I'm rooting for the guy, but I was a little, it's his first game. He's a rookie, but man, you got to hit the holes hard.
Good observation, Steve. Lee, he's hesitant. Lee, he's hesitant. It doesn't work for most running backs, the vast majority, if they're hesitant. You know who it worked for? Le'Veon Bell. He was famous for that. So White's not Le'Veon Bell, you know, who was fantastic for about 3 years with the Steelers. Lee, it's only one game on White. Right now, they don't need him. They got Fournette. It's interesting that they're listing him as the number two back. You know, he's ahead of Keyshawn Vaughn at this point, Lee.
He got that many touches in training camp and preseason. It's not really a shock.
Lee, one point on Shaq Barrett, and I got to give Bowles and the defensive staff credit. In his three previous years with the Bucs, he almost always came off the left side, which is one of the things I love about Barrett, because most of your great pass rushers, edge rushers, they love coming off that blind side on the right. Well, starting with the first snap, the very first snap against the Cowboys, Shaq Barrett was on the right side, and Tryon Shoyinka was on the left side. And by the way, speaking of JTS, Lee, he's all over the place, but I will say this. He's got talent. You can see it. He can be disruptive, this guy.
He flushed Prescott on him on Winfield's pick.
He did. So, you know, they're going to keep working with him to make him a complete player. There's a lot to work with that guy. But Steve's right. Barrett, you know, when you need him, he shows up. Now, will he line up left or right against New Orleans? I don't think the Saints know at this point, which I love that.
Tryon Shoyinka, he's dripping with talent, oozing with talent. He's just so raw. You watch the games again, he's still really raw, which is okay. He'll get more snaps this year, and hopefully he'll develop. And obviously he's got his times where he's quite effective. So hopefully he can pull the numbers. I didn't get a sack Sunday night. Anthony Nelson, he keeps doing his thing. He gets in a little bit. Hey, next thing you know, he's got a sack. You know, Vita Vea got one late. But I'll agree with you, Ira. I think Akeem Hicks and Vea, not their best game. You know, the defense, just really incredible, Sage. The Bucs defense unleashed quite a storm on the Cowboys, and it's that time of year where the storms roll through, and all of a sudden you've got damage in your home. Storm damage, water damage, flood, fire, whatever it might be, and you have to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. First call. Before you call your insurance company, make sure they can come out and give you a free assessment of what's going on in your property, and then call your insurance company. So you have an honest assessment before the insurance folks get out there and, you know, essentially try to rip you off. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are licensed mold remediation specialists. And if you tell them that you heard about it on JoeBucksFan.com or from Ira Kaufman, they're going to give you a $500 discount. Maybe that's $500 toward your deductible that they'll give you. Or if you're paying cash, $500 that you get back. So Florida's Elite Restoration, they're locally owned, Ira, and they're eager to help. And this is the time of year. Don't mess around if you've got mold and you get to drop the Sage's name. I know, Ira, you like when people drop your name.
You know, Josh and his people, Josh and his crew, they do a fantastic job. They're honest. And that's the number one thing you're looking for. You know, you don't want to get exploited as a customer. We all know the amount of rain, Steve, we've had around here the last couple of months. It's been heavy. And sometimes that leads to mold issues. Sometimes Josh will give you an honest evaluation. And that's what you want most of all. And if there's a problem, they're going to take care of it. But it's got to be your first phone call. Forget the insurance company. You reach out to Florida's Elite Restoration first, and you'll be a satisfied customer.
Hey, Ira, is it true that you called Josh because you had a moldy rye bread in your refrigerator?
I didn't know whether to throw it out or whether I could keep it. He came by and gave me a full assessment.
back to the offense, Ira. So you said yourself that Brady, not the best game. I gotta slap you around a little bit. I'm hoping Lee agrees with me a little bit here. Are we to believe, Ira, that you, the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, are basically dinging Tom Brady because his receivers, his Hall of Fame receivers, made great catches? I mean, I don't understand this. It was a perfect throw to Julio Jones. Not underthrown, not overthrown. He laid out for it and got it. And Mike Evans was doing Mike Evans things. You know, he requests the ball out there. And, yeah, a spectacular catch. But I can't fault Tom Brady for that.
I'll say this. Carson Wentz could have thrown that pass to Mike Evans. Maybe Mitch Trubisky, too. Lay it up there and let him do his thing. I mean, to me, that plays 90% on Mike Evans. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's 90% on Mike Evans. It was a good throw to Julio. It was a sensational catch by Julio. I thought he missed a few to Julio also. I thought he could have had another couple of catches. Of course, I'm prejudicedly. I got him as a fantasy league steal in the sixth round, and I'm going to keep playing him while he's healthy. Speaking of health, gentlemen, speaking of health, there is a little adversity, boys, that came out of that game. Godwin, Donovan Smith. I'll say it right now, Lee. I'll say it right now, early in the week. I'm not counting Donovan Smith out. He has tremendous personal pride. I don't care if they got to put a pad on him, a cast on him. I don't care what they got to do, Lee. But if it's up to Donovan Smith, he's lining up against the Saints Sunday.
I would not be surprised. I mean, Donovan Smith, he has his sect of detractors that they will never quit ragging on him. They will never be happy until he's off the Bucs roster. So you can't talk to these people. So for those few people that are listening to this podcast, that you can't stand Donovan Smith, hit fast forward and we'll get a beer or whatever. You don't want to hear this. Donovan Smith's a damn good left tackle. He's a tough SOB. He's only missed two starts in his career. Am I right, Steve?
One was for COVID.
Yeah.
How long has he been in the league? Since 2015? He's only missed two or three starts? You've got to be a tough SOB to do that.
He was beaten by Parsons, right, Steve, on an inside move by Parsons also.
Yeah, that's how he got hurt. It's supposedly a hyperextended elbow. Sage, for what it's worth, Ian Beckles on his podcast, the former Tampa Bay guard, he talked about his hyperextended elbow when he had that injury playing. He said he was back. He missed one game. And he said what happened was the strength that you lose in the elbow, just the loss of strength, is just too much to play that position. And so, I mean, he wouldn't be surprised with that diagnosis. And he's not a doctor. He wouldn't be surprised if Smith has to miss a game. Just, he said, you're fine otherwise, but the loss of strength and all the issues in there, it's just, a liability. So we'll hope for the best. We'll hope for the best there. I can't pick the Bucs without Donovan Smith there. I can't do that against the Saints, but it's too early, Ira. Too early. Let's talk about the other guy. Chris Godwin, give myself a little pat on the back. I said, if he's going to play, if he's cleared, put him in, start him, throw him the first pass, and get it over with. And that's exactly what they did. And he rumbled and unfortunately injured a hamstring, second quarter.
Let's not overreact. The hamstring injury, I don't think, had anything to do with the rehabbing from the knee. I mean, let's get that out there. It's unfortunate because he looked really good on that first play. It was a 25-yard gain on a little flip to the left side. Lee, he looked like the old Godwin. I'm not rushing him back from a hamstring. I don't think there's any way he's playing against the Saints. But that's okay. They've got Jones. They got Gage. And, of course, they got Evans. As you'll read in my column this week, Evans got to get his head out of his ass against the Saints. It's unacceptable, Lee. We'll talk about it more in the next podcast. But Mike Evans, he just can't play against the Saints. He just can't do anything.
Is that more credit to the Saints or a detriment to Evans? I kind of give the Saints the benefit of the doubt there.
I know Lattimore's good, Lee, but Mike Evans is great. To me, I'm putting the onus on Evans to show up Sunday.
I'll give you a baseball analogy. No matter how good Albert Pujols was, you know there's some nickel and dime pitcher out there that owns him.
Yeah.
It just very well could be that Lattimore, for whatever reason, Lattimore is his kryptonite. There's Hall of Fame quarterbacks that they couldn't do well against a certain corner or a certain team for whatever reason. And I just think that's the case with Evans. I mean, yeah, you would hope Evans could snap out of it. You'd hope the whole team could snap out of it. But the Saints have a hex on them. And until they prove otherwise, The Saints own them. I know listeners are going to get mad at me for saying that, but show me different. Show me where I'm wrong.
Steve, what surprises me the most about this Evans-Lattimore thing, and we'll talk about it more on later in the week, but Mike Evans is very, very mentally strong, Steve. He's not weak. He's not weak. He's got a lot of confidence in himself, and he backs it up, you know, with all these touchdowns. 27 touchdowns the previous 2 years. Then he starts off with a touchdown catch in week one. I mean, this guy reaches the end zone, Steve, as much as any receiver in football. He just does. But Lattimore's in his head, Steve. We got to figure out what's going on there.
Well, for the listeners who may think you're over-exaggerating a little bit, Ira, in the last four games regular season against the Saints, so 2 in 2020, 2 in 2021, Mike Evans has a total of 8 catches in four games. And they're not of the spectacular variety. It's a problem. And, you know, he's had big games, though, before, prior to that against Lattimore. But he doesn't always win the battle, that's for sure. He's on the losing end of that. So I don't know if they can fix that or not, Sage, but they should have enough firepower to move the ball. Now, I watched that Saints game against Atlanta, Ira, and I cannot believe how incredible the choke job was by Atlanta. I mean, they were by far the better team and just handed the game away. They were just beating the crap out of Jameis Winston. And then they got a big lead and they went to the prevent defense way too early and for no real reason. And, you know, it was just ridiculous. They missed field goals. Marcus Mariota fumbled at the 3 or 4 yard line trying to get an extra yard when he didn't need it. And it was just a miracle that the Saints won that game. Very, very angry situation. I haven't been that angry in a long time, Ira, but it just fuels the passion. But I'll say this, if the Saints play like they did on Sunday, they're going to lose to the Bucs. But the Bucs need to put up more points. That's what scares me, Ira. You know, they got 7 yards from the tight end position in this game. Russell Gage, I don't know if he really looked like a guy 100% off his hamstring. Now, no Godwin. They're going to have to find points in the red zone. And I dare to say it, but I think Gronk was watching that game last night, Sunday night, saying, they miss me.
Absolutely. You mentioned the word angry, Steve. You know who was angry the most, Lee, was Arthur Smith of the Falcons. I don't know if you saw his post-game tirade.
Yeah.
He's already taken on the media, which, you know, that's a classic example of a guy losing his cool. You guys buried us. Well, I got news for you, Smith. You got a bad team.
Win games.
You're staring at 4-13, in my opinion. But I guess they played very well. Steve, watch the game. I got to give you credit, Steve, for watching a Saints-Falcons game on a Sunday. And they were burying the Saints. They were done, New Orleans. Give Winston credit, Lee. He done quit.
I was in my hotel room in Dallas watching Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, and Steve's twittering about the Falcons. I'm like, good God, man. Do you have no life? Do you have no self-respect watching the Falcons? I got to say this real quick, Ira. Two guys who apparently already know they're going to get beheaded after the season is Artie Smith and Mr. Clean up with the Jets. They're both whining about the media after a loss. Start winning games. I have never met a reporter that missed a block, that whiffed on a tackle, that threw an interception, dropped a pass. Worry about your freaking team. Don't worry about this outside nonsense. Come on, man. And you know what? Once they start winning, they'll start bitching about how writers aren't cheerleaders.
Ira, I know you love these numbers. I know you love these kinds of numbers. Against the Saints defense that everybody says is their strength, Atlanta ran 38 times for 201 yards.
I know Cordarrelle Patterson had a big game, Steve. Big game.
Okay, so 38 times, 201 yards, Ira. Their longest run was only 15 yards. That's how consistently they were just beating the crap out of them on the ground.
Was this a classic case of looking past the Falcons?
You never know. You know what it could be, Lee? Because Steve and
they're so zeroed in on the Bucs.
It could be, Lee. Could be. But Steve and I have also mentioned over the years how the Saints have stumbled in the early weeks. They got a knack for stumbling. The first two or three games, then they straighten out. Lee, it looked like they weren't ready to play on Sunday.
I'm not going to be crying over the slimy Saints. Let's put it that way. So.
I'm still so mentally shaken by that game because I was I was so sure the Saints were going to lose. It was just there. I had people texting me I haven't heard from in years, you know, freaking out about that finish there. So
I'm mentally shaken. Steve has the fortitude or I don't know what's the
hell. Hey, Steve, I want to circle back up. Steve, something you said right in the beginning, Steve, and I think it's worth mentioning again. Lee, get a hold of yourself, baby.
I know. I just remember Steve's Twitter out about the Falcons, and I'm sitting there like, of all the games you gotta watch, and they're like, I'm watching Pittsburgh Cincinnati, and like,
I know
why Steve was watching. He's so dedicated to Joe Bucks fan,
yes,
and
yes,
the Bucks, and but it's like, you know, oh my god.
Well, Steve, put this in your pipe and smoke it. If the Bucks beat the Saints Sunday, they will sit alone atop the NFC South at 2-0. So there we go. But, Steve, I do want to mention and amplify what you said in one of your remarks about the game. Gedeki and Hainsey. Hainsey, who I've said 47 times on this podcast, has never played center except for 1 week in Mobile, Alabama, where he caught Jason Light's eye. And Gedeki, who's a rookie. I looked at them, Steve. I watched them. They acquitted themselves very well. Very well. Strong run blocking and more than adequate on the pass protection. I got to give those two guys credit, and I got to give the coaches credit for getting those two ready. I knew Shaq Mason would play well. Worfs, you never worry about. Those two guys, they stepped up, Steve. They stepped up.
Hey, one thing on Hainsey, guys. He was on the Buccaneers radio network Monday night, sat down for an hour. All things Robert Hainsey. And a couple of interesting nuggets came out of there, Ira. You reminded me with the Senior Bowl. Hainsey was not supposed to play center at the Senior Bowl. He told the story of how they were in drills, and I guess the center had gotten dinged up or something, and he just ran out there. He's like, I don't want to stand here waiting to do something. I'll just run out there and snap the ball. So he ran out and jumped into a center drill, wasn't asked, wasn't supposed to play center, and it went okay, and he asked if he could play center, and you know, practiced a little bit as sort of like the number two center, and eventually got in the game, and you know, the Bucks really loved what they saw. So he drove the center thing. It wasn't scouts or an agent or anything like that. He just ran in because he was bored on the sidelines. And
that story, Lee, I don't think it's crazy, not crazy, to suggest that he might not have been drafted by the Bucks if that didn't happen. I mean, he was a right tackle at Notre Dame. They're certainly not looking for a right tackle at that point. They got Tristan Wirfs. They're looking for somebody with versatility, and that's where Hainsey showed it off in Mobile. Lee, if he doesn't do that and press the issue, he might not have been drafted by the Bucs.
He might not have been, but I got to be honest with you, I don't know this. I don't know if Light had already been on his radar or he had been on Light's radar. You know, let me rewind a little bit. Allie Marpet never played center, I think. I don't even think in high school he played center. But what did Jason Light say the night he was drafted? He's a center. Now, he was an okay center. He was much better as a guard. So there's certain traits these guys look for in players. Okay, this guy could do this. This guy could do that. So I don't know if he was already on Light's radar as a potential center. I can tell you this. The Bucks won him as a center from the moment he was drafted because they weren't sure that Jensen was ever going to resign with him.
Looks like a good draft pick, Steve, at this point.
Yeah, hey, one game, we'll take it. One other thing about Hainsey that was of note, he talked about how, and has been reported, and we've written about it, he trained all summer with A.Q. Shipley, the Buccaneers' former center and former assistant offensive line coach. But he said a lot of that training with him was not about the mechanics of playing center and working out. Yeah, they did that. But he said a lot of it was just Shipley teaching him the offense and all the ins and outs and the little nuances of the offense, and that was sort of the greatest value. And Hainsey said that he went out there and he was really proud of himself on Sunday night. He said that I was so comfortable and so calm and so assured of myself that I had the mental space to help out Gedeki. And that I had enough left in my mental tank to answer all of Gedeki's questions and guide him and sort of be the leader of Gedeki, which I thought was really cool. And he also painted Gedeki as a guy who's texting him constantly. He watches film on his own all the time and is constantly texting Hainsey, I'm seeing this. I got a question. Help me out. off hours when they're not even together. So I thought that was really cool. It seems like they have something there.
You know, even before Stinney got hurt, I think Gedeky was going to win that job. I do, based on Gedeky starting at left guard in the preseason and moving Stinney over to right guard because Mason wasn't playing. I think that showed me right then and there, Lee, that Gedeky was going to win that job.
Yeah, and I heard some whispers that had Ryan Jensen never been hurt, Hainsey might have been your left guard. Might have been. He was in the mix. He was in the thought process.
Yeah, Hainsey brought that up too, but he sort of stopped himself short saying, you know, that changed in a hurry. I was really, you know, fired up for the competition.
Second day.
yeah. He was sort of not bummed out, but he was sort of like, oh, you know, I was really so focused on that competition at left guard. You know, so he, you know, it's an interesting little nugget, but hey, that's history, you know. Sage, Bill Curry Ford, as we talked about earlier, BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name, BillCurryFord.com. Just start shopping there. Whatever it is you're looking for, even if it's body work, whatever you need a quote on, service, or you're shopping for a vehicle, get it started there. And then you've got Sean Sullivan, the GM, ready to help you on an emails notice, phone call notice. It's just great to work with a family-owned dealership. Bill Curry Ford. Reminder, Sage, on Sunday, as we talked about, Ira, hang out with Ira. It doesn't get any better than that, watching the Bucks at the Saints with Ira. Sage, we got a tailgate group coming out there. I'm going to give you their information, and it's going to be fun. Bucks fans filling the house and just having a good time more than anything else. Hopefully we get some good weather, but it is fully covered, gorgeous seating and indoors. BigStormBrewery.com. If you're not going, which most of you are not, they don't have room for you. Load up on Big Storm beer and enjoy the football weekend. Sage, Tom Brady, it did take a little bit more effort, a little more stomach, if you will, to sit through his podcast last night rather than the Falcons Bucks game, where Brady was really laying it on thick, saying nothing but talking a lot. But he did talk about getting old, and he sounded very reflective in this episode, a little more, you know, sort of like a guy who appreciates a last time around the league sort of thing. I was told also that he stayed on the field much longer than he usually does, talking to more players and sort of savoring the atmosphere after the game. If that means anything, people like to read into these things. But he was asked about, you know, playing at his age and playing for years to come. And he simply went in a roundabout way. He said, I could play, but just the commitment is so extraordinary. I'll read you the quote, Ira. There's no margin for error when you're 45. You know, you take hits and you feel every hit. When you're younger, your body's a lot different. And when you're 45, your body changes a lot. So what am I dealing with today? Monday, I woke up today going, holy shit, there was a few hits. And he looks at his arms and he sees his bruises, cuts. And he asks himself, quote, okay, how much longer do I want to make this commitment? And then he went on to say, yeah, I made the commitment. You never know, one year at a time, but very reflective.
Lee, I don't need to hear any more from Brady in this respect. My verdict's in. You can disagree with me. Please do. He ain't playing anymore after this. This is it, Lee. Everything he says, the body language, the words, the demeanor tells me that this is it. And he knows it, Lee. He knows it. Will he go out with a Lombardi trophy? He might. The odds makers think he's got a damn good chance of doing it. And I didn't see anything Sunday night that tells me he won't, Lee, with his team. But this is it. Lee, he wanted to play till 45. He's there. He ain't going to do it at 46. I'd be stunned. And I don't care how much money Steve Ross wants to throw at him. Lee, I think this is it. And I think Buck fans know it. I think his teammates know it. The front office, the ownership. Where am I wrong? This is it for Brady.
The signs point to that, but I'm not going to go out and say it. You know, it's Brady. I'm not going to climb out on that limb. Let's put it that way. You know, it would not surprise me whatsoever if he's playing somewhere, maybe with the Bucks at 46. He's obviously driven. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing this at 45. I don't think he's going to play, but we're talking about a different animal here. So all bets are off with this guy.
You know, Steve, you listen to his comments, you think he got battered and bruised in AT&T Stadium. That wasn't the case. Steve, no. What's going to happen when he really gets smacked around?
That's a good question, Ira, and a good point. So that's why I thought it was a very reflective kind of tone for a game one. And also interesting, you know, how, like I said, how I was told, you know, he was spending extra time on the field. And, you know, usually, especially a road game, those guys aren't quick to stick around under any circumstances. Right. Oh. Sage, we got a lot to talk about later this week. Also, we've got your picks at the website, your 24 predictions. I typed them all up so people can track your movements during the season.
Oh, boy.
You had a very good opening day, Ira, because, of course, you picked Antoine Winfield as your defensive MVP. You picked him to lead the team in interceptions. Your sack numbers, you're looking pretty good so far. Leonard Fournette was your offensive MVP, not named Brady. So there's 24 Sage-related picks in there. Good start, Ira. Good start. Lee, anything you want to tell us or a question for Ira to close it out? Because the Sage has to go record Tampa 2 with Derek Brooks. Great opening episode, Ira. And that's at joebucksfan.com or at theidentitytampabay.com. Very interesting stuff in there. We won't touch it this episode, Ira, but Brooks himself literally said that he watched preseason and the quarterback play, and he was very, very concerned, which I thought was interesting. Doesn't speak well for the Blaine Gabbert, Kyle Trask mob. But Lee, anything?
Well, I want Ira's reaction to this. I know this probably got past your radar because you're not a social media guy, but apparently Leonard Fournette has stirred up people, specifically defensive pass rushers in the NFL. Von Miller took to Twitter Monday and begged Roger Goodell to ban Leonard Fournette's type of hitting on defensive ends. Micah Parsons went on Twitter, called Leonard Fournette a female cat, said if he was a man, he would have let Parsons square up on him first before he hit him. What's your reaction to that?
I have absolutely zero problem with what Leonard Fournette did Sunday night in Dallas. There was no flag, nor should there have been. He's protecting his quarterback. He knows Parsons is a heck of a guy to deal with, and all he's thinking about is, I need my quarterback to remain upright. It was a heck of a blow, Lee. As the play developed, you couldn't help but notice it. Boom. I wish I was in the stands. You probably could have heard it. but it's a legal hit. And, of course, Von Miller's going to take Micah Parsons' stance on it as an edge rusher. Look, you got to do what you got to do. I got no problem with Fournette, Lee. None.
And real quick, apparently some history with Fournette and Parsons. There was a clip I saw on the interwebs last night. Parsons' very first game as a rookie. And Parsons goes up to Fournette. You're not going to catch a pass on me. Are you going to try to catch a pass on me? And Fournette looks at him and yells, who are you?
You know, that's very presumptuous of Micah Parsons. But Lee, to be fair, he backed it all up. He backed it all up. What a fantastic rookie season. Then he opens with two sacks against a guy who doesn't get sacked very much in Brady. The guy's fantastic. Like, he's maybe the main reason why the Cowboys have a chance this year to be a playoff team, although he took a hell of a blow with Prescott. Aaron Donald's not getting any younger. Within a couple of years, Lee, he might be the best defensive player in the league. He's close to it now. So he's that good. Lee, get your rest because we're coming back later in the week. We're going to focus on the Saints game. We know the history between these teams, Lee, and we got to get your picks. And I'm going to get Derek Brooks's pick today. And Lee picked the Cowboys last week. He's 0-1.
But the only one.
He wasn't the only one. And I'm 1-0. So we'll see what happens. But Lee, we'll chat later in the week. And we're coming back strong.
And you know how bad it is for Cowboys fans right now?
How bad?
They're clamoring for Cam Newton.
Enough said, Lee. Enough said.